Thanks for joining us for the Executive Series today. I'm speaking with Gopi Karunakaran, who is Portfolio Manager at Ardea Investment Management.
Gopi, great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Now, one of your responsibilities is managing the Ardea Real Outcome Bond Fund. So you've got a focus on fixed income, which has been a pretty challenging landscape lately.
Yeah, absolutely. We've transitioned from an environment for the past, say, almost 10 years where central banks have been extremely supportive for fixed income by keeping interest rates abnormally low and suppressing volatility. That's now changing. We've seen that very clearly so far this year, where the Federal Reserve in the US has been raising rates. That's really increased interest rate volatility, and it's challenging some conventional assumptions around the way that fixed income is expected to behave. So, you know, if you think about your classic 60-40 balance portfolio, the assumption is that if you hold some government bonds against your equity portfolio, when equities go down, your bonds should give you some kind of buffer. That hasn't been working very well this year, and that's because we're shifting to this new paradigm where central banks are trying to normalize interest rates.
You make a very good point about the volatility. Even if you just look at the last couple of months, we've had a 10-year Treasury note approaching 3.3%.
Yeah.
Now it's well below 3%. It's like 2.8 and a bit. That is unprecedented volatility.
Yeah,
for fixed income when not much is happening.
Certainly unusual. There's a common assumption that fixed income, particularly passive fixed income, if you just buy and hold some government bonds, is low risk and low volatility.
Yep.
Well, if you'd held those 10-year treasuries over the last 3 months, that has been anything but low volatility.
Yeah.
The capital price appreciation and depreciation over that period has been pretty substantial. So that's one of the things that we think is really being challenged, is this assumption that if you just buy and hold government bonds, that's somehow defensive. The volatility over the last few months tells you it certainly isn't.
And what are your optics in terms of interest rates, both locally in the EU and in the US? In the US, Jay Powell seems to have turned tack most recently.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like there was more rate increases coming down the pipe. Now he's saying we might be at a terminus, and a number of Fed officials are saying that. What's your take on things there?
Yeah, so I think if we sort of step back a little bit and look at the bigger picture, so look outside of the noise of the last couple of months, it's pretty apparent that central banks globally, not just in the US, do want to normalize interest rates. They're not comfortable having interest rates at such abnormally low levels. I think they recognize the distortions that are being caused, and probably most importantly, they want to raise rates so they can have some kind of buffer to then cut rates again when the next downturn happens. And right now they don't have that buffer at all.
Yep.
Inflation has been a bit of a challenge for them. As you know, inflation's been very, very low for a long time, and central banks have been trying to stimulate inflation, and that's kind of held them back a little bit from raising rates. But in the US, we're slowly starting to see inflation pick up, particularly wage inflation, which we think is giving them the confidence that they need to normalize rates. And bear in mind, we're not talking about raising rates to very high levels. We're talking about just normalizing rates.
Yep. So just quickly on the local picture, for a long time, the RBA has been talking about the next move in rates being likely to be higher. A lot of questions over that argument now, whether it holds water. Some are now suggesting the next move will be down.
Yes.
What are you seeing on that front?
Yeah, so certainly we see the risks to the outlook skewed to the downside. Everyone knows the housing market is weak.
Yep.
And that's against a backdrop of very, very high household debt levels in Australia.
Yep.
Unlike in the US, in Australia, even though unemployment the unemployment picture has been improving, wage growth hasn't. So there is no real wage growth here. So you combine lack of wage growth with a household sector that's heavily indebted, that's not a great mix for the economy. And so it's not surprising that the RBA is getting a little bit more cautious on its outlook.
Yep. Now, let's talk about your ETF. One of the characteristics of it that stands out is your dynamism. You're the opposite of passive. You're very much moving around, seeking out opportunities all the time. How exactly do you do that?
Yeah, okay. So perhaps step back and I'll give you a little bit of context around fixed income and what's conventionally out there, and then contrast that to what we do. So if you think about the conventional approaches to fixed income, it's really about accumulating, buying portfolios of bonds and holding them. And in doing so, you're either exposed to interest rate risk if you buy government bonds. So if rates go up, you'll have a capital loss on those. Or more recently, what's been popular is so-called short duration funds. So these are funds that have less interest rate risk.
Because they're short dated bonds.
Correct. Yep. But in order to then get the return, they go into credit securities. Yep. So think about things like corporate bonds, bank FRNs, hybrids, yep. Which are all fine. But you just have to be conscious that they carry risks as well. So in a downturn, particularly an equity downturn, they can exhibit a lot of volatility and illiquidity. So the conventional fixed income space, certainly what we see out there being offered to investors at the moment, is pretty limited. It's either a choice between rate risk or credit risk.
Yeah.
So what we do at Ardea is it's a style of very active investing called relative value investing, which is essentially market neutral. So we use the same high quality government bonds that you would find in any conventional government bond fund, but we extract returns from them in a very different way. And what that means for investors is you open up a much broader range of fixed income return sources that is completely independent of what rates do. So it doesn't matter to us whether rates go up or down. It doesn't matter to us what equity markets do. And we think that's there's a real place for that in the current environment when people are concerned about rate risk, credit risk, equity risk. This style of relative value investing can deliver a very stable, low volatility source of income when things are benign, and also have the potential to give you some protection when equities fall, as has happened in the last 3 months.
Indeed. So one of the important points that you made just then is the credit risk aspect of things, and the fact that you invest in sovereigns or government bonds is a very important part of your offering, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. So we focus very much on two things, capital preservation and liquidity. We, even within the government bond universe, are very, very selective about where we'll go. So it's really only AAA, AA rated, very high quality government bonds. We don't invest in emerging markets. We don't invest in, say, some of the European countries that have credit risk associated with them, Greece, Italy, and so on. And that's an important point, because a big theme we've seen in fixed income over the past 10 years is that as rates went lower and lower, there was this phenomenon which we call credit creep, meaning that you see increasing amounts of credit creeping into defensive fixed income strategies as a way to boost returns.
Yeah.
That's worked well, but now
until
we're seeing some. Well, exactly right. And we're seeing some signs of that now. Credit spreads have been widening. Credit markets generally have not been doing very well this year.
Yep. So, in terms of the sovereigns that most pique your interest, what are you paying attention to most?
Sure. So we gravitate towards the most liquid sovereign markets in the world. And so that's really places like the US, US Treasuries, enormous liquid markets, Australia, Australian government bonds, Canada, Germany, Japan, those kind of markets. You might think Japan's an odd one. Why would a fixed income investor look at a country where interest rates are negative in some parts?
Yep.
What we do is we don't try to buy in bonds and hold them for income.
Yep.
We don't try to predict the direction of rates. We think that's very, very hard to do reliably. Yep. We look for inefficiencies in markets. And basically that just means that we look for things that are, say, two bonds that are very similar to each other. They're closely related, but they the price gets diverges for some reason. Yep. It could be because
the historical relationship is out of kilter.
Correct. And usually that happens because of some kind of large flow that's going through the market. A classic would be big passive fund has an outflow, is forced to sell bonds. That temporarily creates some demand supply imbalance. And then we will just go in, buy the bond that's cheaper, put something else on to offset, neutralize all the interest rate risk, and just wait for that to correct. We just do that over and over again. So it really doesn't matter to us whether rates are high or low. We just look for the big, deep liquid markets where you get these kinds of inefficiencies.
Okay, so what are the things that you're going to be focused on most when you look at, say, for the first quarter of next year?
Yeah, so we think we are quite focused on the US at the moment because with the Federal Reserve moving towards tightening monetary policy, that's creating some distortions in certain parts of the market that creates great what we call relative value opportunities.
Yep.
For example, distortions in the shapes of interest rate curves, which we like to exploit. The other one we think that's going to be quite interesting throughout 2019 is Europe. So the European Central Bank wants to follow the US down that path of normalizing. They are having trouble, but we think at some point they will be forced to do that. We think that is going to create a lot of distortions in European markets, a lot of relative value mispricing. So it'll be very fertile territory for this type of strategy.
Good luck, Gopi. It's going to be a pretty challenging time in the next couple of years.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.